the president has pledged to undo Obamacare. Repeal and replace is the phrase. And there's a couple of proposals coming out, Susan Collins of Maine, amongst others. And the president signed on day one an executive order that sort of vaguely started to undo some of the more punishing aspects of the Affordable Care Act. But in California, we have a whole other issue. It's called Covered California, which is the state exchange. And for all the talk about how Obamacare itself ran the risk of collapsing under its own fuzzy math, if you will, apparently we got our own problems here locally, that apparently there was a mistake made in calculating the premiums, and Covered California customers are getting enormous rate hikes coming down on them. One woman, Beth Freeman, a 53-year-old from San Bruno, said that her new bill claims that she owes $330 a month more on her premium than she had expected. $330 a month increase. And that would be obviously crushing for so many. To talk to us about what all this is about is a columnist for California Healthline. It's a pleasure to welcome aboard Emily Bazar. Emily, how are you?
I'm fine, Doug. Thanks. How are you?
Good. I appreciate you coming on. I've been covering this story for years since, obviously, we started the first debates about what became known as the Affordable Care Act and all of the manifestations thereof. And this story is so complicated. And I have a BA in English. I'm not good at paperwork. I still don't really feel competent of the facts on this. So please be kind with me as we go through this, because it's complicated. It's really complicated.
You're right. It's incredibly complicated, and it's been very difficult for people since 2013, 2014, when this began, to figure out how to apply, how to use their insurance, what the requirements are to avoid the tax penalty. It's been very complicated.
So let's leave the Affordable Care Act out of this for a second. Let's just talk Covered California. What happened? Why are people getting these huge rate increases?
Well, actually, there were two mistakes that Covered California made during this open enrollment season, but I'll focus on the one that you alluded to. Right now is open enrollment for Covered California. It ends on January 31st. And going into open enrollment, Covered California had about 1.3 million customers. And now, as you and your listeners may know, people whose incomes qualify will receive tax credits. These are federal tax credits that reduce the amount that they have to pay each month in their monthly premiums. And Covered California calculates those based on people's incomes. Now, for about 25,000 approximately policyholders, now that's not individuals. Policyholders could be individuals or families, so that's more people than that. But for 25,000 policyholders, Covered California said just recently, in the last couple of weeks, that they sent the incorrect amount of tax credits to these people's health insurers. And as a result of that, these folks received incorrect bills in the mail. For most of them, the bills were lower than they should have been. And so when Covered California discovered this error, they informed the health plans that, you know, hey, we made a mistake. These are what the tax credits are supposed to be. And now these health plans are rebilling folks. And these folks are seeing, in some cases, as you said, you know, hundreds of dollars more a month that they owe. And it's quite a shock for them.
Well, it's not only a shock, it's also they purchased these plans on false information, on inaccurate information. And, they may not have purchased them if they had known the true price.
That's true. That's true. I do want to say Covered California claims that in its original letter to people at the end of last year who are renewing, that it sent them the correct amount of tax credits that they'd be receiving per month. However, I've spoken to insurance agents and people like Beth Freeman and others who said that they did not receive the correct amount, or they received inconsistent amounts. So, yeah, absolutely. People who did their due diligence, like Beth Freeman, did their homework, chose a plan based on the amount of tax credits they were going to get, their health situation. Now they're being put in a very, very difficult situation.
We're talking with Emily Bazar, who's the columnist for California Healthline. The website there is californiahealthline.org, californiahealthline.org. How healthy is Covered California?
You know, Covered California has been held up nationally as an example of how a health insurance exchange could work, is supposed to work. And it's true, Covered California does a lot of things right. It has, as I said, about more than 1 million. At last count, it was 1.3 million customers. But at the same time, you know, I've been writing about this as well, Doug, since 2013. And I've been following, I write from a consumer standpoint, so that's where I'm looking at things. How difficult or easy is it for the average person to do this? And since then, I mean, there have been many, many times where consumers have faced challenges with Covered California and Medi-Cal. It was supposed to be a seamless, you know, consumer transaction. If you qualified for either Covered California or Medi-Cal, you were supposed to be put into the program easily. And it really hasn't always worked out that way. So, you know, like I said, Covered California has done a lot of things right, but look what's happening politically right now in the federal government. You talked about it earlier, and this is a time when, you know, people are saying Covered California should be at its best, and it's had actually two mistakes that have affected about 50,000 policyholders.
Emily, since you cover this on a regular basis, and you're covering it from the perspective that I think is tragically overlooked almost all the time, and certainly when the laws have been negotiated in Congress, from the perspective of the consumer, the prices keep going up, and I don't have an ideological objection to creating some kind of a healthcare system that works for the country. I'm not an ideologue on this, but the Affordable Care Act is a misnomer, because it's affordable only for the people who are receiving the subsidies. For the people who aren't receiving the subsidies, the costs have spiraled upward. Now, that was happening prior to the Affordable Care Act as well. So it seems to me that it's a misnomer to call it that. If they had called it the Accessible Care Act, they would have been spot on, because it certainly made health insurance available to people who were previously uninsurable, the pre-existing condition folks. But it still seems to be that nobody's put on the table a plan to address what the crisis is, and the crisis is the expense.
That's an excellent point, and I've addressed this many, many times in my columns that, as you say, the Affordable Care Act is not affordable for everybody. And in fact, the Affordable Care Act through Medi-Cal, we expanded Medi-Cal here in California, and as a result of that expansion, 3.7 million more Californians have access to Medi-Cal. It's free for them. And as a result of Covered California, we've got more than 1 million people on that. However, if you are low income, if you are, you know, you can't even say middle income. I mean, these tax credits, the more you make, the less in tax credits you receive. So I agree, for many, many people, these plans have not been affordable. And so they're faced with buying a plan that may have a lower monthly premium, but then they have to pay for it on the back end with really, really high out-of-pocket costs. These bronze plans, which are the cheapest plans, this year have a $6,800 out-of-pocket maximum. I believe that's the same for the deductible or thereabouts, and it's double that for a family. I mean, if you go to the emergency room and you have a bronze plan, you have to expect that you will be shelling out thousands of dollars. So, it is going to be interesting to see how the federal legislators and the new president tackle the affordability issue with this, and also try to maintain access, which, as you said, is incredibly important. I mean, for the most part, I think people do want health insurance.
All right. I want to ask you a question that, if you actually have the answer to this, will win you the Nobel Peace Prize and a couple of and an immediate gold pass to cut the line on the way to heaven. All right. But what are we missing here? What, you know, why can't we come up with a system? Because, again, It's not a fair analogy to compare medical costs with the price of a soda. But if you look at the battle between Coke and Pepsi in grocery stores, the free market capitalism and the competition between those companies will have a case of soda available for the price essentially of one can out of a vending machine. Electronics, the prices keep going down and down and down with more competition. Competition brings prices down, but it doesn't seem to apply in the healthcare profession. I've talked about this. It almost seems like in some ways we have too much insurance because, you know, you go in for a routine physical or a Z-Pak and it goes on the insurance. It's like, what would car insurance cost if I needed washer fluid and it went on my car insurance bill?
Yeah, that's such a huge question, Doug. And I mean, one thing people need to remember is it's our healthcare system, the way it's evolved. It's not just health insurers who are being greedy, although there may be some of that. It's we have providers, we have hospitals, we have doctors, we have device makers, we have medical groups. We have all of these people fighting to make as much money as they can. You're in Southern California. I'm in Northern California. Up here in Northern California, our insurance premiums tend to be higher than yours are. And one of the reasons for that is because there are consolidated provider groups. So you have less competition, as you were talking about. And so when these provider groups get together, these big groups like the Sutters of the world, the Dignity Healths of the world, and they negotiate with health insurance plans, they have more power than they would, you know, when there are more groups in a market or a region. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to answer your question.
Well, I'm not going to hold that against you because nobody's been able to answer this question. I mean, the president has echoed rhetoric that we've heard going back to the debate over the Affordable Care Act about the red lines between states that stop somebody in California, for instance, shopping for a health care plan in Nevada that may be a better price. First of all, is that true? And would that drive prices down?
You know, there has been a lot of talk about the possibility of allowing insurers to sell across state lines. I'm not an expert in that, but one of the concerns that some consumer advocates have is that, you know, right now, for instance, if you have a problem with your insurer and you want to fight a bill that you think is incorrect, we have two regulators in the state of California that regulate health insurance companies, but they will, you know, actually go to bat for you, you can file a complaint with them, they will look into it. What would happen, these advocates say, if you're buying a plan that was being sold out of Delaware? You know, would somebody from California, you know, be able to call, you know, Delaware and get help? Would they be prioritized? I mean, so, you know, in addition to the economics of that, you have to look at what the impact on the consumers is going to be. Is it going to be a good or bad thing for them? Because, you know, as you know, it's bad enough. It's hard enough right now dealing with insurance.
Hey, Emily, my wife and I have a good friend who is a physician and has what I think is a pretty good idea about just lowering medical costs in general. And that is to make physicians and healthcare providers, hospitals and clinics and such, advertise their prices. Let people know what stuff costs, because for all of our lives, we've never known what anything costs when you go to the doctor because the bill's sent to the insurance company. And if you advertise the price, it'll force competition. UCLA will compete against Cedars and the cost of an MRI will go down and such. Has there been any talk about that?
A lot. That's an excellent point. I mean, you know, right now when people have these high deductible plans, or when they're expected to pay, you know, the first, you know, thousands of their insurance before, or of their costs before their insurance kicks in, they're being expected to shop around. And yet, as you say, it is next to impossible to find out how much procedures and tests cost. You know, there is a lot of talk about it. There are attempts, but they are in little silos. You know, there are groups. There's a group called clearhealthcosts.org. They teamed up with a radio station, KQED, to try to, you know, crowdsource information about the cost of mammograms, the cost of various knee and back procedures, and to put them up in a transparent way for people to see. But, you know, like I said, those are in little isolated locations. And in doing these experiments, people are finding that it's not easy to get an answer. I experienced this myself recently. If you have insurance, they won't even tell you how much stuff costs. So it's a big problem. It's a big problem.
Yeah, but it seems to me that that is a solvable problem if the consumer were only represented in the halls of Congress. Everybody has a lobbyist except the consumer.
Yeah, it's a very good point. I mean, here in California, we have some groups that are very active in helping consumers. Unfortunately, in many cases, it's on the back end. I mean, there is some lobbying, you know, there's Health Access California and Consumers Union and that sort of thing. But there are other groups that are involved on the back end, like once the problems have already happened to you, here's where you go to get help. But you're right. I think, you know, I've often said about the Affordable Care Act, I mean, I am not political in my columns. I wrote about the Affordable Care Act and how it affected consumers, just as I will whatever, you know, if I may call it Trump care, turns out to be. But it seems in the writing of these things that the effect, the day-to-day effect on people, the effect it has on their lives, their time, their pocketbooks, is not taken into account as much as it should be.
Hey, listen, Emily, thanks so much for coming on us. We appreciate your time, your insights into it. CaliforniaHealthline.org. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. You're welcome.